Turn with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. I have looked at where Jesus said, I will build my church. It's on my heart to look at one more thought. Probably be through with this little, I don't know if it's mini series or whatever. It is what it is. But Jesus said, and it sure does do me well, I will build my church. That means it's his church. That's ownership. It means he's building it, organization. He's the one that established the church as it is and gave us the ordinances that we do, even as Baptist churches now. He's the one that did all the organization. It also means operation. It means that he gave gifts to believers, that he did all that's whatever it's going to take to run the church and the church be successful. He has given that. Then the opposition, the devil. He said, for the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. I said it in Sunday school. I said again, I don't understand why in the world anybody would be against the church or God's work or God's people, but there is somebody. The devil hates you, by the way. He despises the church. And he'll do all that he can to defeat us. We are the church, not this building. This is the place we come to worship. The church is us. That speaks of the universal church, every believer in the world. And that is condensed to the local church, the one you're in right now. I have mentioned ownership, organization, operation, opposition. I want to look at this word. You'll all be worried when I say it. Obedience. Notice what he said in verse 18. I want to read it again. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. He said, I will build my church. He does that, listen to me, through obedient believers. Those who know the Lord, who say, I will obey. Give me the form and I'll sign. Tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. The problem with our church, every church has ever been, every Christian organization, is lack of obedience. People who just will not obey God. It is not people we are to obey, the pastor, the teachers, the deacons, the officials, or the whatever. It's God. He is the one that's in charge. He's the one that's building. Notice what he said. That thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will. Speaks of the Savior. I want to mention first that obedience deals with a service to the Savior. He is the one we are to listen to. He is the one we are to obey. I say that first because he's the Creator. He made it all. Look around. Look everywhere in this world. Look up in the air. Look down in the sea. All creation is God's, and everything in creation is God's. Listen to what the Bible says. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. This world belongs to him. The verse continues, the world and they that dwell therein. That means even unbelievers have the decree, have the responsibility to obey God. And the first step of obedience to the God of heaven and earth is to get saved, to accept his Son as their Savior. And if they try to bypass that and go straight to doing what God wants, they'll fail every time. For the way into the family is accepting the Son, repenting and believing and calling on him, being birthed into the family, becoming a son of God, child of God, one of his family, and then obeying him. The obedience of the Word, the obedience of the Lord, the obedience of God's people, it begins with a service to the Savior. The Bible says in Acts 10:36, He is Lord of all. Revelation 17:4 says, He is Lord of lords. He is God. He created it all. And just the fact that you being part of His creation means He owns you. Now He wants your spirit. He wants your soul. He wants your life. He wants you to be saved. But He says, I want you to obey me. That's how we got into the family, by acknowledging His lordship. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. When someone gets saved, they do believe, they do accept, but also they give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are abandoning their lives to Him. And they are saying, I now belong to you. And they do. I'm talking about, I will build my church. The process that He does that by us obeying Him. That involves a service to the Savior. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you and you have of God, and ye are not your own? When I gave myself to Him, He took me. And I am no longer my own. We belong to Him, not only by creation, but by salvation if you're saved. You became His property. That means He can tell us what to do and be right, for He is our Lord, He is our God. The Bible calls believers sons. Now that does not exclude you ladies. You are included in that. We are children of God. Guess what children do? Children, if they are good children, if they are right children, if they appreciate their father, they obey their father. They do what he says. And as sons, we ought to obey him. Every day of our lives, we ought to say, Father, what would you have me to do today? That's not bondage. That is glory. That is wonderful. We are called sons. We also are called stewards. A steward was that person who worked somebody else's land. They did not own the land. They didn't own the ground. They didn't own the plow. They didn't own the barn. They didn't own the cow. They owned nothing. All they did was work it for the owner of the land. That owner was the boss. That steward did not get up and say, I believe I'll put beans over there this year. I believe I'll put corn over there. No, the steward asked the owner, what would you have me to do? This is your land. I am your worker. I belong to you, and what matters to me is what matters to you. That's how it ought to be with our lives. Because we own nothing. Everything we have has been given to us by God, and it is His. And what we do with His stuff ought to depend on Him. Obedience. Father, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Boss, what would you have me to do? We also are called slaves or bond slaves. That means that if someone has been a slave to a master and the time has come where he can go free. But that slave loves his master so much, that master has been so good to him, he says, I do not want to go free. I want to serve you forever. And that slave becomes a bond slave, and that slave, out of love, says to the master, what would you have me to do? You see, the master is the master, and the slave is the slave. The slave doesn't do what he wants to do. The slave does what the master wants him to do. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches about us believers. We are to be in service to the Savior, for he's our master. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say unto thee?" Why do you say I'm Lord, and then you don't do what a servant would? He also said of himself, speaking to the Father, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Even the Son of God, God in flesh, said to the Father, "I don't care what I want, it's what you want. It's not what I desire." Now, he being God, wanted what the Father wanted. But we don't always want that. Our flesh sometimes wants to go its way. Hey, could I reword that? Our flesh all the time wants to go its way. And the way of the flesh and the way of God are always the opposite. But a good servant, a good believer says, "Father, thy will be done." I'm talking about service to the Savior, doing what he wants and not what we want. In Philippians 2:10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I know this. One day I will stand before the Lord, Jesus himself, the one who died on the cross for me, and I will give an answer to how I obeyed or disobeyed. The places where I disobey, I will lose a reward that I could have had. The places that I did obey, I will receive a reward that I really don't deserve. But I'll tell you one thing. When we see him and we fall on our face before him, it will matter then if we are obedient now. I'm talking about I will build my church dealing with obedience. The first step of obedience deals with the service of the Savior. Can I throw this in before I go on? Serving the Lord, I've mentioned this already. It's not strenuous. It's not hard. It's not bondage. Serving him is the best thing you could ever experience in this world. Here's what the Bible says. Just one verse. "The Lord is good." I say amen. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." That word "trusteth" means to believe, of course, but it means also someone who would give themselves to him. And he said, "Blessed is that person who says to the Lord, here am I, do with me what you will, I'm ready." Obedience deals first with a service to the Savior. Obedience deals secondly with a submission to the Scripture. Notice, he said, "Upon this rock." Peter had just said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Upon this rock," I believe he pointed to himself, but also he's saying what Peter said about him, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the Word of God. Obedience means we see this book as God's book. It is not the book of man. It is not a compiling of different opinions. It is not a book of suggestions and recommendations. It is a book of commands. It is a book given by God, breathed by God, from God to all mankind, especially God's people. And obedience says, "Lord, I submit to you and this word. If I find it in this book, I'm going to believe it. If it tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. If it tells me not to do something, I'm not going to do it. This book is not God in that I worship it, but it is God breathed and I honor it. I respect it. It is God's word to man in our day and every day." A submission to the Scripture. A giving over our will to what it says. Deuteronomy 26, 16, God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. If it says it, we do it. For as God breathed. It is as though God walks in this building and says to us what this book says. That's how real it is. It is inspired, inerrant, the God-breathed book. We can trust every word. We can believe every word. We can obey every word without fear. We can know that it's God's word and we can trust it. We need to say in our hearts, our minds, by our actions, I believe God's word, I will do it. If it says it's right, I believe it's right. If it says it's wrong, I believe it's wrong. Like James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I love to study. I love to learn. I know a lot of preachers, know a lot of people who love to learn, love to know more. But knowing more, knowing it all, learning something new every day, as wonderful as that is, it's not enough. It falls short. We must not just learn it, know it, but we must do it. We must do more than hearing it. We must do it. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. James also said in James 4:17, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sounds kind of serious. Jesus said, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments. He's speaking to Pharisees there. And the Pharisees had pretty much divided the word of God to where they believed there were some really, really important commandments with really, really serious consequences for breaking them. And then some least commandments or less important commandments or smaller commandments with less consequences for breaking them. And Jesus said to them, even the least of the least, in your opinion, your point of view, is important. He in essence says, there are no little commandments. There are no small, there are no insignificant commandments from God. If he says it, he means it, and it's important. There, and we do the same thing, by the way. I won't mention maybe nothing. I don't know. I'll find out in just a minute. There are some things that you know good and well. The average Baptist says, I don't think that's too bad. But the Bible says it's wrong. And there's some things, boy, now we can point toward those people out there and we say, I don't see how in the world they can live that way. That is horrible. That is perverted. And to tell you the truth, that's the truth. That's right. It is perverted. It is sickening. I cannot understand how they do some things. But the Lord said all commandments are the same. Those things we call little bitty, those things that aren't so big to us, he says they're big to me. That means that we are to look at this book and see what it says and do what it says, all of it. And that rubs the flesh the wrong way. Here's what Jesus said also, Matthew 7:24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, you hear the word and you do it, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And you know the storm came. What he is saying to us, in this world, in this life, we are going to have storms, trials, troubles, problems, heartache, difficulties, things we cannot handle. And if we look in this book, we will find ways to help us through those storms, help us to live life as we should, help us to get help from God. And if we do what he says, he'll help us. But he also talks about a man who builds his house on the sand. His own opinion, his viewpoint, what he wants, what he feels like.
And the Bible says, the Lord said, when the storm came, the one on the rock stood, and the one on the sand fell, and it says, great was the fall thereof. It tells us we need to realize what this book says, believe it, and obey it. Because if we don't, the problems we face, we will not be prepared for. Not just know it, not just believe it, not just accept it, not just love it, but do it. I'm talking this morning about obedience. We're having fun on Sunday morning, I tell you what. Obedience means a submission to the Scripture, a service to the Savior. Obedience means, thirdly, a sensitivity to the Spirit. He said, upon this rock will I build. There's a verb in there. I will build. There's an action in there. I am doing it. He is doing that in our day. He is doing that since he went back to heaven through the Holy Spirit. Now the Word of God is for all people, everywhere, all the time. It is general commandments, general statements that go to everybody, no matter what the situation. In other words, if God says in the Bible, it's wrong, it is wrong. If he says it's right, it is right. You don't change that. You don't water that down. It is for everybody all day, every day. It is a general blanket statement. Right is right, wrong is wrong. The Bible tells us which. But the Spirit goes with us. The Holy Spirit, when we get saved, moved into us. You have God in you. And what the Holy Spirit does is travel with us through life in our different situations and circumstances, with our problems that we face. Sometimes we don't even see them coming. With our difficulties we have to handle. With everyday life, the Holy Spirit goes with us, and he tells us if we will be sensitive, if we will listen, he will tell us how to handle every situation of life. And if we are going to do right, if we are going to obey, we must be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit who lives in us. Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go. But when I go, I will send you another comforter who will abide with you, and he will be in you. In other words, when Jesus was in this world, if somebody wanted to talk to him, if somebody had a problem, if somebody had a question, if somebody had a need, they had to go find Jesus. And if they could not find Jesus, their question went unanswered. Their need went unmet. They had to go where he was to get the help they needed. But now the Holy Spirit has come. And he lives in us, so we don't have to go anywhere. He's in us. So we can say, Lord, show me what I should do. Show me what's right. Show me what's wrong in this particular situation I am confronted with right now. And he will tell us. Jesus said, the other comforter will come who will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what's right. And he also will tell you what's wrong. And part of obedience is being sensitive to the Spirit of God who lives in you. Of walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, means we are surrendered to him, open to him, listening to him, and obedient to him. And he says it is a walk. In other words, every day, all day, every day, all day, every day, all day. You say that sounds like a bondage. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not bondage. That's deliverance. Because I don't have to decide what to do when a problem comes. All I got to do is ask him. And if I got sense enough to hear him and do what he says, I'll get help in the problem. But if I don't, I'm probably going to suffer some consequences that ain't too good. And by the way, I have suffered some of those consequences, and so have you. We all know what it is to do something dumb because we didn't listen to God and suffered the consequences. And sometimes they are lifelong consequences that we never get under. And that's why he said, I've given you the Holy Spirit. I'm working on my church. I'm building my church. And part of my working and my building that church is I put the Holy Spirit in my people to where he can go with them and whisper in their heart and tell them, I said, the Word said, love them. You're confronted with somebody that's not really lovable, not doing really lovable things, and you want to just smack them. You want to give them a piece of your mind, but the Holy Spirit says, that's wrong. Love them. Be patient. Obedience, when we are sensitive to the Spirit, means he tells us right then what we need to do. And you guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Are you listening? Guess what? I'm telling you something. This is good. He does not just tell us what to do. He enables us to do it. Because it's the power of God in us. And when we surrender, we yield to that power that works through us, that does what we cannot do, does what we cannot do, does what we cannot do. That's called obedience. I love it. I love it. Because I know I can't. And I hope you guys sense enough to know you can't. The Holy Spirit, at the moment you need him, will be there to remind you what the Bible says. You see, those two go hand in hand. Guess what? The Spirit and the Scripture and the Savior, they all agree. And if you ever think the Lord's telling you to do something that's against this book, you are wrong. I don't care how you feel. The Holy Spirit will never tell us to do anything contrary to this Word. Listen, Philippians 2:13. For it is God that worketh in you, Holy Spirit, his work, in you the both will and to do of his good pleasure. He works in us to where we are willing to say, oh God, I want to do your will. I submit to you. I will obey. What a blessing it is to obey the Lord, to be continually sensitive to the Holy Spirit and willing to listen to him. I'll close with just a couple of things. Acts 7:51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do what they do or don't do. You do always resist the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. He says, this is my words, you hard-headed rednecks. I tell you what to do and you won't do it. Don't complain to me when you suffer the consequences. He said, you resist the Holy Spirit. Your daddies did it, and their daddies did it, and their daddies did it, and you're so dumb, you're doing it. The problem is resisting the Spirit because the flesh doesn't want what the Spirit wants. The flesh doesn't want what the Scripture says. The flesh doesn't want what the Savior says. Our flesh is contrary to anything of God. That's why the Bible says, quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't, when he speaks, don't quench it. When he speaks, don't grieve him by disobeying, not listening. Jesus said, I am going to build my church. I am so glad that it's his job and he's doing it. I am glad it's not on me. But he says, in the process of me doing that work of building my church, I'm going to use my people. I'm going to use those people in that church. And the only way I can use them is that if they obey me. So I just want to ask you, is the Savior, your Master, Do you bow to His Lordship? Do you do always those things that's going to please Him and not yourself? Secondly, do you accept this book, this scripture, as God-breathed to tell you what to do and not do and go by what it says gladly? Number three, do you listen to the Holy Spirit who lives in you, and are you yielded to Him and sensitive to Him and tender to Him to where you could even hear Him whisper, and then you gladly and quickly obey? What questions? What searching questions? Let's stand together.